Welcome to Mondays with the Mayor, hosted by Santa Rosa Mayor Chris Rogers.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to today's Mondays with the Mayor. My name's Chris Rogers. I'm the mayor of the city of Santa Rosa. And with me, as always, is Michelle Marquez.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, Michelle. How about yourself?
Pretty good.
Well, today's show is going to be fun. Today is Total Recall.
What? The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
It's not the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, though I suspect he'll probably make a cameo in our discussion. joining us today to talk about recalls from the local level all the way up to our governorship is Professor Dave McEwen from SSU. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm good, Chris. It's nice to join you and Michelle today. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. So it took them 4 years, or 3 years, six attempts, and here we are. They finally got them. They've got their mission accomplished banner up. They've got the recall election on the ballot, and the governor's going to get recalled. Right, Dave?
Well, he's certainly going to be on the ballot for the yes-no question. Whether or not he gets recalled is a different animal. But you could, yes. I mean, indeed, there's been this push that has happened over the last 3 years. You've had seven attempts. This is the sixth of seven. The seventh attempt didn't really go anywhere. But if you go back, there have been many attempts to recall governors in California more recently, or since this happened with Gray Davis. But this has happened up and down the ballot, as you kind of talked about on the lead-in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is really interesting to me about this one, so I was reading through the statement of organization for the campaign, and because it actually started before COVID, it actually doesn't even mention COVID or the response from the governor in the COVID shutdowns.
Yeah, I mean, this really is an interesting movement as it developed. This particular movement happened pre-COVID, as you note. Then the recall proponents went to a Sacramento County judge. They got an extension. They would not have qualified this recall effort given the COVID and where things were without that extension. So it really was a Sacramento County judge who provided, I think it's a 120-day extension that allowed the proponents of this recall measure that's qualified for the ballot to get to the threshold where they could qualify. California is a deeply blue state. It's a bluer state than it was in 2003 with Gray Davis. And given COVID, given all the social and political upheaval last year and an election year, they would have never qualified this ballot measure. So in some ways, while they we might quibble with the rules of recalls and how easy it is here in California, on the other hand, the courts, often reluctant to play a role, extend the life of this particular ballot measure and allow this thing to really get on the ballot as a result.
Yeah, and you mentioned it, but in California's history, 179 attempts to recall a state officer, whether it's an assembly member or senator or higher up from that. And this is only the 11th time we've seen one qualify.
That's right. It's rare when it happens. And there are some differences between California and other states, but also between California and the localities, what happens in the cities, special districts, counties of California, and across the country. You have 20 states that can recall a governor. 19 of them have something like what we have here in California. Virginia is different. If a measure qualifies to recall the governor in Virginia, it goes to the courts. It doesn't go to the voters. But in 19 other states, you have this. But in 36 states, you can recall local officials. You can recall some state officials. And not even that many states have the ballot measure or the direct democracy process writ large. So it is something that comes with a whole host of unintended consequences. And when you look particularly at the local level, there are over 6,000 jurisdictions in California that would be subject to any type of data collection we would want to do around recalls. So getting data, looking to see what this looks like, how it happens, all of that kind of thing in terms of the universe of potential kind of protest politics or recall politics, all of that is very difficult to do, even here in California, let alone across the country. And when you look at it across the country, over 28,000 jurisdictions have the potential for recall or recall processes and referenda. That's a really big tool that groups can use. They haven't used it very effectively, but it is becoming more and more part of the regular toolkit or toolbox of things to use in our hyper-political era.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that we have two different recall elections here in Sonoma County that are currently gathering signatures or counting signatures, and then obviously the third one being the governor's race as well. But we've got the West County School Board, we have the Windsor mayor, and then now the governor as well, all in this recall process that you're talking about.
That's right. And we have a potential recall of a district attorney. We have, if you will, this kind of anti-establishment, what I call permanent protest politics. And recalls really are wild animals. Now, the 2003 recall had against Gray Davis had some potential problems going on with it. It then gets a lift from Congressman Darrell Issa's money. It gets a lift from some Republican political consultants, including Dave Gilliard. In Sacramento, Sal Russo, who worked with the Tea Party later in 2010. But it gets a boost, and then, of course, that boost is accelerated by the entrance of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And if we look at recalls today, Gavin Newsom was elected with the highest level of support of any California governor. He beats John Cox 62-38. He destroys him. Cox is, of course, one of the potential Republicans who could run against him. But nonetheless, Gavin Newsom in the deeply blue or bluer state has been popular despite what's happened under COVID. So if he can keep other Democrats out of the race, he'd be in a strong position to do well. But if a celebrity enters the race, this is not Caitlyn Jenner, but someone beyond that. Or if Donald Trump raises money for a particular Republican, even though Donald Trump is a toxic brand here in California, nonetheless, the race could become the key political battle of 2021. That then affects what happens, say, in a West County area, or what happens with the town of Windsor, what happens in the district attorney's race. Those are not likely to be qualified at the same time. Those are going to be much later in the spring of next year if they happen. But it, nonetheless, it becomes part of this anti-establishment protest politics thing. That's a big deal, and it does upset politics as usual, or the sense that you can attack all levels of politics just by being against stuff, which makes it much harder to get stuff done.
Well, and of course, you know, $4,000 and a couple of signatures, and anybody can put their name on the California ballot, which creates huge, huge implications for distractions in 2021 heading into 2022.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great point, Chris, is that if it's only $4,000 or 7,000 signatures, and if you get the 7,000 signatures, you get the $4,000 back, that's no big deal for Elon Musk. That's no big deal for a celebrity, but it doesn't mean that they necessarily throw their hat in the ring. But because the threshold is so low, you could see not like 135 candidates that we saw in 2003. You could see 400 or 500 people, 300 people. You could see a big ballot that then has to go to every voter in hard copy form in the state to conduct this all mail-in ballot. That could cost $400-500 million. It could break local government. It's not likely to be that much, but if you were worried about it statewide, if you were worried about it in Los Angeles or San Francisco counties, it could potentially be a huge, huge hit to your budget in the midst of this COVID pandemic and this kind of anti-establishment politics era.
Yeah, and I want to draw really fast before we get to our break. I want to draw a quick parallel between what you're seeing with the governor's recall election right now and the recall of Josh Newman back in 2018. And for the listeners, Josh Newman was a state senator who was elected in a swing district in, I think it was in 2016. A recall election happened after he supported the increase of the gas tax, and he lost his seat in a recall election in 2018, one of the very few times we've seen that happen in the state. And then he came back and he won in 2020.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this tool of recall is used. It does raise a number of questions because Newman is someone who tried to position himself as a deal maker in the middle. Republicans have not been as relevant in Sacramento. They haven't been as relevant, obviously, statewide. I mean, and then there are some wins that have been, pushing against them writ large. A Republican has not been elected to statewide office since 2006. Heck, Republicans have not defeated an incumbent Democratic governor since Ronald Reagan did so in 1966. So while you have these things going on, you then look, if you're the out party, at all of the tools at your disposal. And this anti-politics, anti-establishment thing, going against Gavin Newsom, even though he may be popular under COVID, going against Josh Newman for raising gas taxes, all of these types of things allow the minority party to push forward, especially if the threshold is low, right? If you need 12% of the signatures in 160 days, that's a long time. In Wisconsin, you get 2 months. You get 60 days, and you have to have a higher route of 25%. So when Scott Walker is attempted to be recalled, he thwarts that off. But nonetheless, it doesn't happen as much in other states. But California is high profile. So if Josh Newman loses in a race like that, then gets reelected, if Gavin Newsom loses, the how this reverberates across the country is large. Now, if Gavin Newsom wins, if he's able to get that no vote and throw back the recall, he's also essentially reelected a year before he has to run for reelection. But I want to point your listeners to another component to this. Republicans are about 25% of voters in California. If they were able to increase that by a third, say to get to about 33%, one in three voters under the recall, that would be a huge victory for them, even if they lost and Governor Newsom was essentially able to thwart that. That would be a big victory for them, because at 33, 35%, Republicans can start to be relevant down the ballot and on a statewide ballot. That would be something to watch out of the whole recall mess and recall circus that's about to hit us.
Yeah, and we'll pick up that thread in just a minute here. This is Mondays with the Mayor, brought to you by the Early Learning Institute today.
Every family looks forward to seeing their child's first smile, first step, and first words. And every family worries, at least a little, about all of these things happening when they should. The Early Learning Institute is here to help. ELI is a local nonprofit that has been supporting families with young children in Sonoma County for more than 21 years. Our services are free, confidential, and have been redesigned to keep you and your child safe. Have a question about how the pandemic might be affecting your child? Or just curious about your child's development? Give us a call at 707-591-0170 to talk to a specialist, or visit earlylearninginstitute.com to use our free screening tool. Acting early on developmental concerns can make a real difference for your child and you. You do not need to wait for a doctor's referral or medical diagnosis. And if you're not sure what you need, our family navigator will get you where you need to go. ELI wants every family to know that we are still here and we're ready to help.
Healdsburg Lumber Company serves contractors and homeowners in Northern California. General Contractor Jerry Ettinger of Ettinger Enterprises appreciates their reliability.
We know that when we order a truckload of lumber, it's going to be the right stuff. They're very good on their timing, on their deliveries. It saves us a lot of time and money not having to run back and forth, and those things are all very important to us.
Healdsburg Lumber Company, building with you since 1875. HealdsburgLumber.com.
Hey, Sonoma Media Group Partners. We're working with media researchers to see how local advertisers approach marketing in 2020. We're asking you to visit SonomaMediaGroup.com and complete the local advertiser survey. This survey will not only help your business, but our local media industry as well. You'll get a summary of the results, plus a chance to win a $5,000 advertising gift card from Sonoma Media Group. Please complete the survey by Tuesday, May 18th, and visit SonomaMediaGroup.com today.
Home is the foundation of our lives. No matter what we may face, home is a refuge to nourish the soul. For too many in our community, this peace feels far away. With your help, Caritas Village will be a place to find home. Visit caritas-village.org to make a lasting difference in thousands of lives. For a limited time, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. Learn more today. That's caritas-village.org.
Welcome back to Mondays with the Mayor with Chris Rogers on KSRO. And now, here's Chris.
And we're back. So we're talking today with Professor David McEwen, talking Total Recall, everything you need to know about the governor's recall election that is coming up later this year. And Dave, I wanted to do a quick pivot to grab on one of the threads that you just mentioned. And, you know, historically, whether it's Nancy Pelosi, whether it is Kamala Harris, high-profile Democrats in California are really big fundraisers for Republicans in other states. And can you talk to us a little bit about how having such a high-profile fight in 2021 is going to impact all of the swing districts, all of the swing states going forward into the gubernatorial election, which is historically a terrible time for the president?
Right. So if you kind of pan out to the broader set of circumstances that are going on. Look at the aftermath of what happened in the presidential election, the Trump focus on the conduct of the election and whether Joe Biden's a legitimate president or not. You also have conditions where you have a speaker who's a little bit longer in the tooth, closer to the end of her political career than not. And so there's a pressure to get a lot of things done. She can afford to lose 2 to 3 votes, 2 to 4 votes, depending on the day. That's all. You have the closest Democratic coalition that we've had since 1893. You have a deadlock in the Senate. But at the same time, you have a guy down in Florida who's interested in reemerging while you have a leadership fight going on. All of this is basically the divide between Capitol Hill, the Biden White House, and former President Trump and Mar-a-Lago. You then fast forward to a recall of a California governor, a poster child for Democrats nationwide, as you mentioned, a vice president who represents a new type of Democrat and, if you will, a generational pivot and change for the party. How does the Biden White House, how does the vice president of the United States stay out of what's happening in California? They can't. And that means that someone like former President Trump, the speaker-to-be, the guy who wants to be the next speaker, Kevin McCarthy, who just scheduled the vote, leadership vote on Wednesday for his third in command. All of that churns up California and makes it pivotal as you try to hold on to seats. Midterm elections, next year's 2022 election, are when presidents lose. They lose the most their second midterm, but in their first midterm, they lose an average of about 35 seats. That means that Republicans are in the real driver's seat on this anti or protest politics. And Democrats, President Biden, Vice President Harris, have a very short window. And that will raise the stakes, the visibility, the funding, the level of what is going on in this particular recall, because it will be the ultimate warm-up game. It's the ultimate exhibition before the big race in 2022 for all parties concerned. That's a big deal. And if you're at the local level and you're thinking about recalls up and down the state, that also has the potential to get caught up in that anti or protest politics. Then you enter in the wild card of a potential celebrity in the race. And this thing really could be a really wild ride.
Yeah, and typically, as we've talked about, policy changes or policy discussions really drive some of those swing states. But in this case, we've got a recall that's talking about immigration, taxation, and homelessness. And then layered on top of it is not having kids in schools, the impacts of the pandemic, and then, to your point, celebrities that probably can't talk about any of that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it makes it hard to have discussions about what to do with the state budget as priorities as we roll past COVID and look at economic recovery, what to do in terms of the differences for rural versus urban school divides and how they're funded and how people come back to school, the access to fast internet, the social and racial disparities that we know have been exacerbated under COVID, where we're headed. It gets hard to do things that we all agree need to be done, like police reform and improving race relations, especially in the wake of George Floyd's tragic killing last year. All of these very difficult things challenge the White House with a very diminishing kind of time frame. That pushes forward the narrative, if you're the Newsom team, that how can you pivot? Do you pivot? Because right now their argument has been, of course, that these are far right wingers, QAnon, anti-vaxxers that have been pushing the recall. There's not that much evidence for this. There's some, but those are more media-driven kind of photos. And there are a lot of people who are middle-of-the-road voters, and some say light Democrats, who signed the recall petition. And that means that there's a potential for upheaval, especially if things get uneven. If you're the Democrats and you're looking at this, that then raises the question, do you put a backup plan on the ballot? And so far, that has not happened. But I would argue, as a pointy-headed academic who lives in the ivory tower, you got to have a backup plan. It's political malpractice not to do that. The question is, what does that look like and who is that person? And so far, the Newsom administration has been able to sit on all potential rivals on that road because they're professionals and they know that they need no rivals on the ballot.
Well, and I also noticed that straight out the gate, Newsom's team started trying to position this really as a radical Republican takeover of the state, a continuation of Trump-era politics, if you will. And given the circus that this is creating, Will the former president be able to resist? And if he doesn't, how does the Republican Party continue to move forward in a new era, a post-Trump era, or does it stay mired in the same problems that it had in the 2020 election?
Yeah, I think that what you see is an embrace going on by the Republican Party and really an exorcising of those Republicans who are not with the former president. This is certainly what we see with the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, but with Republicans all across the country. That doesn't sell as well in California. And this will be interesting because the California Republican Party has embraced Trump internally, but not always made him center stage, if you will, in many districts across California. You also have that census that says we're going to lose a seat. If Democrats lose a seat in Los Angeles, like the Napolitano seat down there, what happens to this pressure placed on other seats, both with Democrats and, if you will, with the few Republicans that are part of the congressional delegation here? And all of that is happening in the midst of generational change and divide as people are trying to move up, and we see more Democrats at the city level. So I think this recall politics thing, even though we're paying close attention to it statewide, its potential to upset politics down ballot and across California headed past 2022 into that setup for 2024. All of this is here to stay in the near term. And it also is a huge way to raise money, perhaps raise a little bit of your voter registration and make your party relevant again.
Yeah, and obviously it matters who shows up when always in politics. And I think the Josh Newman recall, I think, really sells that he gets recalled and then less than 2 years later turns back around and wins that seat again just based on the demographics of who showed up to vote. Bring that down to the local level for us. We mentioned the West County School Board recall that is gathering signatures. We mentioned the DA's race that is counting signatures, and then obviously the recall of the Windsor mayor. Is there such a thing as recall fatigue, or do voters see that and build that momentum and say, yeah, we need changes?
Yeah, then what's interesting is all three of these are unique animals in the sense that there's an anger and vitriol for the Windsor situation that does propel forward an angry vote. We saw this statewide in 2003 where there was a vote, a pox on all your houses that elected Arnold, and then people voted against 8 of the 10 ballot measures that he put on the ballot. So it is difficult in that sense. In West County, because of what is happening out there with the schools, turnout is absolutely critical, but turnout could change that race in the dozens, not just like in several hundred. So there's the potential where you can draw out slices of the community or types of particular voters only in the dozens. You can really flip that race in terms of what happens. And then if you look at the DA's race, there's a larger narrative of someone who is leaving office and the broader politics of this county and the change, who funds that, all of these kind of back machinations that drive a broader narrative of us versus them. That's a different kind of set of circumstances for a DA. And also it depends who gets involved at that level in terms of your core supporters and what that looks like for your Democrats versus Republicans, but within the Democratic Party and elements of labor and environmental groups and immigrants' rights groups, all of that then now spills down to city politics, which when you're the mayor of a city the size of Santa Rosa with district elections, all of that makes a lot of politics and the movement of policy very difficult, to a very difficult environment to operate in.
Yeah, so we've got about 2 more minutes here. I'm going to ask you one more important question. I know it's what Michelle's been wanting to know the entire time. If you're the Democrats and you do put somebody on the ballot, who do you put on the ballot?
So I think that you have to make sure that the person is not secretly well-financed or a zillionaire themselves. So Tom Steyer put out a poll where he looked at this. So you don't want that type of competition because they can run independently. You don't want Elon Musk, who is all over the map politically because he's the richest man in the world. You need someone who has political experience, but in some ways may be off the shelf. They come off the shelf and potentially could step back, but also could move forward, a symbolic Democrat in that sense.
So like a Betty Yee?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's Betty. I'm thinking of dusting off a cranky old John Burton. we just tick off the Republicans in the electorate. But yeah, I think somebody like a Betty Yee would be exactly that, someone who's not quite visible statewide, but potentially could be serious on the policy side and open up, but not necessarily be a challenger directly to Newsom. That's a fine game. You do need somebody like that. What you don't want is Ayesha Curry or Will Smith Jr. or a super celebrity like Oprah who would just completely upset the race.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on and taking the time today. We certainly hope we don't see Oprah or somebody else on the ballot, but there will be 135 people, is what I heard from Professor McEwen. So thank you so much for
135 plus.
All right. Thank you so much, Professor. We appreciate the time. This has been Mondays with the Mayor, brought to you by the Early Learning Institute.